Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Fiends, yo. What's up, Nima?
What's up? It's the Freedom Fiends.
Fiends, are you standing? Are you sitting down or standing?
I'm standing up.
Yeah!
I'm a stand-up.
Yeah. Guy. You're a stand-up guy, man.
I guess so. What are you doing?
You are. You're a stand-up guy.
Sounds like you're rifling through a filing cabinet.
I saw this thing about some company that does like it's sort of like a WikiLeaks kind of company, but more less criminal, I guess, or less considered criminal. Like,
yikes.
they do like
it's not criminal.
They do FOIA requests, and they got some big dump in a FOIA request, and their tweet was, "We're going to need a bigger filing cabinet." You know, it's a reference to Jaws, right? We're going to need a bigger boat when they first actually see the shark, like halfway through the movie. Yeah. So I guess I should send you some notes if we're doing a show. I sent you some notes.
You could.
I did.
We are recording, right?
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah, pre-gaming. I just got this thing in the mail. It's so ridiculous. It's from like some used car company, and it looks like a priority telegram, and it's got like recipient copy, time stamp, checked off, express, paid in advance, checked off, account number, number of enclosures, open immediately, urgent delivery, rush, priority. It's all red and black, and I'm looking at it.
I can't believe you even look at your mail anymore. How old are you?
I know. I'm gonna write my congressman and have him You know, I saw the funniest thing. I was going through – when my dad was here, my sister had gone through all of his all of his phone numbers that he had in a notebook and like typed them into a computer and made a, you know, a list for him that was convenient to carry, that had like, you know, all the families, all the relatives, the neighbor, the guy who shovels his snow, the doctor, you know, just anybody that an old person would need to contact in an emergency or, you know, at all. And I looked through it. It was like two pages. It had like, you know, 100 numbers on it or something. And the last number on it was his congresswoman. I'm like, really? Like, that needs to be in your emergency contact.
Oh, man.
So you could complain. Like, call her and complain.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. They're all just a secret government here to destroy humanity. I was listening to Lysander Spooner all day at work.
Man, that's my favorite hip-hop record. I love Lysander Spooner.
I know. It's so dope. The beats are tight.
Yeah.
No, I was listening to the audiobook of No Treason.
Is it Jeff Riggenbach reading it?
No, it's actually not Jeff Riggenbach. It's some other guy.
He's on my list of people to call to interview. I want to interview him. I decided not to try to interview that movie filmmaker, what's his name?
Spike Lee.
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because of his appearance on Bill Maher.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to interview anybody. I want to interview people who kind of have no opinion on politics that are just interesting. I don't really want to interview people that have the same opinion as us on politics, unless there's somebody you wouldn't expect it from, like the guy who co-invented Linux, you know? You kind of expect a Hollywood director to have an opinion on politics, and his is kind of watered down Ron Paulism, and I don't find that interesting. I don't want to interview someone like that unless we think there's a chance we can convince them on air to think differently, and I can tell we can't with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's Oliver Stone. He probably doesn't listen to many people.
He's set in Oliver Stone. His opinions are set in Oliver Stone, probably.
You can't teach an old stone new tricks.
Yeah, so I'm going to say podcasting, Nima Vedati.
You are. I think I've gotten some hints of that. Why don't you explain to the audience what you mean by that? You are going to save podcasting was the declaration made by Mr. Dean. Dean, what do you mean?
Yes. Well, I mean that we talked recently about the patent trolls, and if you missed that fine episode, you can go back and listen. But There are some people that claim they invented podcasting 4 years before podcasting was invented. They actually never invented anything. They just wrote down on a piece of paper and filed
They said it'd be a good idea to have a list that you could automatically download stuff from.
Over a network, that you could automatically download media from. Yeah, right. They didn't specify what kind of media, just media. So there's a chance they might win. And it's a company that's won in a lot of these cases. They do the cases in a court in Texas where the judge is favorable to patent trolls and the jury pool is cranky old Texas. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. Just older, conservative.
Uninformed people. Yeah. People not savvy about tech stuff. Likely. Yeah. That's the likely jury pool. And they're not really a jury of the peers of people who actually did invent podcasting or are actually podcasters, are they?
I mean, really, the jury of their peers should be 12 other patent trolls, shouldn't it?
Well, no, because the patent trolls are not the defendant, right?
No, it should probably be 12 random people from the tech industry who work and are knowledgeable in computers.
Exactly. Yeah. Or 12 podcasters.
Yeah, there you go. So, the EFF.
They can go, we can give them a link to LRN and say, this should be your jury pool. These guys are all podcasters. pick from this pool. I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like picking 12 drug dealers to defend a drug dealer. No, it wouldn't, because drug dealers aren't doing anything unethical. Patent trolls, I believe, are doing something unethical.
Right, but I mean, the defendant is the one who has the right to be tried by a jury of his peers, and the defendant here is, I guess, podcasters, the podcasting industry, right? I mean, they're suing basically
us.
The trolls are suing to make everybody who podcasts give them a licensing fee all the time just because they're podcasting.
And I'm worried that if they win this and they send you a lawyer letter and you say, I'm just throw that away, man. F that. They might be able to seize domains because the current climate of the DOJ and the DOC, Department of Commerce. And I even wonder if it would work to put it in Europe. I'm trying to get in touch with some attorneys at EFF and talking to Stefan Kinsella tomorrow to try to figure out if this patent would extend to Europe. Now, what I understand is that formerly you had to get a patent in every country to protect things in every country. But I think now there's just treaties where the EU will say, yeah, we'll honor America's patent troll patents.
Ugh. Well, speaking of Stefan Kinsella, you know, when I first heard about this patent troll thing, up until just now, I thought, this is not going to fly, man. This is on its face ridiculous. But you say, you talk to Stefan Kinsella, and he's actually kind of worried
that
they could win.
I talked to Stefan Kinsella today, and he said he was fine with me reading his response. Maybe I should have Nima read his response. I guess I need to go on the pigeons to do that. But
on the pigeon troller? Yeah.
Yeah, I asked him what he's going to do if it wins, and he said he's probably going to stop podcasting, which kind of terrified me. I asked Ian Freeman what he would do, and he'd be like, I'd just throw the letter away.
But well, Ian, I mean, podcasting's not Stefan Kinsella's main thing. It's kind of a bonus icing on the cake kind of a thing.
And it's not Ian's main thing, but it is how a lot of people listen to Free Talk Live. I mean, they're on 120 radio stations, but that's out of, like, you know, 2,000 radio markets in America. They're just scratching the surface of the people they can reach by radio. And they're way more popular than we are on radio. So I'm not going to just say, oh, we're on radio, we don't need to podcast anymore. And we're podcasting into perpetuity, man. We're trying to podcast 300 years into the future. Radio's done when it's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other workaround, like you say, and this is why we push the torrents so much, is you want to see if torrents would be exempt even if the patent trolls win. Torrents, you're not downloading media from a list, you're downloading metamedia, the information that points to the media from a list, right?
Yeah, I would prefer not to talk yet about our workaround. I forgot to say that.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, because then the patent trolls might hear about it and they might go, oh, we'll add this to our list.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what Stefan can sell. Go ahead and read what I just sent you. He has several answers, and I think we should read them all because he's the most expert person I've talked to so far on this, because he's a podcaster and a patent attorney. And hates patents. He protects people from patents.
Yes. Stefan says, I am following the case and worried about it too. If they win, I guess I'll cave like others. Sometimes the law is wrong and you cannot win, even if you are on the side of right. The problem is not trolls, however. If you have a patent system, you will have such results. I've talked about this in previous posts, e.g. those at, he's got a link. You can put that in the show notes, Michael. It is possible a given patentee's patents are perfectly valid under the rules of the system. People seem to think that if some patent is absurd or the results are manifestly unjust, then the patent should not have been granted and that there is some legal defense. This is just not so. All patents are granted unjustly. Many of them are granted for products or services that are not new or non-obvious, but that cannot be objectively proved to be such. The problem is the patent law itself, not, quote, abuses of the system and not trolls. Even if we eliminate patent trolls altogether, we still have the main problem remaining. Companies that hold, quote, valid patents that can be used to hobble competition. You are free to publicize my comments as you like. And we did, and we liked to read them out loud on our Wednesday podcast. Thank you very much, Stefan Kinsella.
Yep, and I have more from him that we'll read. And I'm working towards some actual action on this. I'm going to get to that in a bit. And it's kind of weird because he I'm trying to like basically help someone mount a campaign to raise money, the EFF raise money to fight this in court, this particular thing, which is kind of activism. Like I would never, I don't want to do something to get people to write the president and tell him to get rid of patent trolling, which is kind of interesting because he's actually said he's against patent trolling and then probably done things that helped patent trolls, of course.
Yeah, you know. He also thinks it's gross that Guantanamo hunger striking prisoners get force fed with Ensure, but he's not going to do anything about it. He says he's against everything bad, but then he continues to do it all the time. So
right. We know politicians. I mean, read my lips. No new taxes. Then there's new taxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, this is kind of like, I don't fight things politically. Like, I'm not going to try to get a letter writing campaign to get people to write their representatives or the Supreme Court or anything. I think that's useless. But I think in this particular case, fighting this particular troll behooves you and I, you know, and podcasters free speech.
Yeah.
And it's be a little win, kind of in the same way that I'm kind of glad that those people in Colorado did that recall election, even though that's within this politics, which I wouldn't do. This is within law, which I will do. The politics thing, I mean, I like that they tossed out those gun grabbers. I think that sent a good message. I don't think it'll really change anything in the long run, but it made me happy. And I'd be really happy if this got thrown out, because if this is thrown out, if this is not thrown out and this patent's upheld, eventually these people are going to send a lawyer letter to every podcaster in the world or in America and demand money. And if they don't pay money, they will have recourse to get your website shut down, which, you know, we could work around it, but it'd be a hassle. So what do you think, Nino?
Well, that's another thing that makes me worried about it, because, it seems ridiculous. But like Stefan Kinsella says, doesn't matter how ridiculous it seems to you. It only matters whether or not it's a valid patent in the eyes of the judge and jury who are looking at a legal system. You know, they're not looking at actual natural law. They're looking at legislation and codes and patent law that's been on the books. So,
I mean, think about how
it's not up to reason. It stands to law, not stands
about
to
how,
reason.
Think about how absurd it is that having a joint in your pocket is illegal, and then try to explain that to a judge when you've been arrested for a joint. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So same read more of this conversation with Steph. We're basically doing an interview with Stefan Kinsella today without bothering him.
Yes, on the phone. The proxy, Stefan.
Yeah, I'll be me.
I hope he forgives me for that.
I'll be me, you be him. So next part. I have two thoughts if they win. First, will this cover them only in America?
Patents are national and geographic. If you are in country A, you might not have a patent in country B. And even if you do, they might not be construed or enforced the same way. Thank goodness we do not have a genuinely international patent treaty yet. Not that IP libertarians are not in favor of this.
No, not that IP libertarians. Oh, never mind. Sorry. You're correct.
Yeah, I said it right. Okay. he's talking about the IP libertarians. I assume he means like L. Neil Smith and J. Neil Schulman.
Okay.
Those kinds
gotcha.
Of people who might consider some kind of good international patent thing. I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouths. I'm a big fan of Elnell Smith a lot of times. But I'll go on with Stefan's words and quit with my digression. So back to Stefan. We have some hardcore fans in Europe who would gladly do the work on putting up podcasts.
This is me.
Oh.
It didn't space.
Gotta have
well.
More delineation. Okay.
Yeah.
Space it again.
Yeah, we need
you
to
go again.
We need to write our congressman and have him improve our encrypted text chat so it copies
yes,
the
yes, we'll
the
just
line
give
breaks.
Him the source code and a link to our computers
yeah.
so they can jump on it and make some changes. Yeah.
I'm kidding, of course. We have some hardcore fans in Europe who would gladly do the work. Well, I'm assuming. I could talk them and bribe them into doing it.
Yes. With
buttons. Who would gladly do the work on putting up podcasts from our live stream over there. One of them is in Prague and even owns the web domain freedomfiends.cz and can host sites in the Czech Republic. Would the personal audio company, that's the people that are called patent trolls here, would the personal audio company troll patent prevent someone in the Czech Republic from putting up Freedom Fiends podcasts? Go ahead, Stefan.
Stefan replies, a patent covers making or using or offering to sell a covered machine or process, but it only covers those actions in a given legal jurisdiction. So if I am a U.S. citizen, but I am downloading a podcast from some distributed service, but the process I am engaging in or the service providers are engaged in, I or they are potentially violating U.S. patents.
So this doesn't just cover the podcaster. It apparently covers
the downloaders of the podcast, right?
Yeah, and I don't think they could possibly go after everyone who listens to podcasts, but what they would do is they would go after the Apple company and say, you owe us money if you're using, you know, if you have an iTunes, if you have podcasts in the iTunes store, which might make Apple pay it, it might make them fight it, or it might make them just quit having podcasts in the iTunes store because they're all free and they lose money on it to like gain, you know, think
iTunes
about this.
Customers, because you don't have iTunes, but then you want to get iTunes because it's a good podcatcher. And then while you're there, they expect, oh, maybe I'll buy the new Justin Bieber single. You know,
and you know, iTunes and the iPod and the iPad and the iThing and the iEar implant, those are all so entrenched now that, you know, maybe Apple would look at it as, well, podcasts helped really drive this thing and adaptation of it, but we don't need to offer them anymore.
Yes. Thanks for building the roads.
Yes,
we don't need you anymore.
Yes, they might do that.
Yeah, I could see that.
So go on, Stefan.
All right. Also,
this
is yours.
What about some tech folks coming up with a workaround technology that would do what podcasts do without violating the personal audio patent? It might be hard since their patent is so overly broad. You've read it, right? But this is something... This might be something for us and others to start looking for someone now to do in case that thing gets upheld.
Stefan says, yes, I've seen the patent, and the thing to look at is not the title or abstract, but the claims. The idea of IP proponents is that patents incentivize people to design around patents. Sometimes this is possible, though in my view, it's a waste of resources. But it's not always possible. I wonder in some way if the government is behind this lawsuit.
Stop.
Well, that's you. You gotta put names in these things.
I don't. I mean, we're doing a live show. I just copied and pasted a back and forth email with him and sent it to you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it wouldn't put our names in magically. I don't have to do anything. I've been working all day on the fiends. I've been building the roads. I didn't have time to do this.
You own you. Okay.
Okay. I wonder in some way if the government is behind this lawsuit in some broader way than just having a patent system and one that's even broken by status standards. I'm sure the powers that be would love to require a payment to express free speech via podcasting. And Stefan says,
I don't know, but I doubt the state is behind it other than granting these monopoly privilege censorship rights in the first place. Booyah. Yeah, that's true. Even if the state isn't behind it directly, it's still their fault. I love that about hating this state. It's always their fault, even if they didn't plan something. You don't have to take there's a secret government conspiracy. They are, by their very nature, the problem.
You know, I just thought of something on the Freedom Fiends blog, you know, when one of our 10 blog posters, guest posters, you know, like the people with accounts, put a blog post up. There's about 10 categories I've added. that you can check off, like, you know, podcasting, freedom, liberty, tyranny, the future, the past, the present, tyranny tomorrow. And one of them is, I blame the government before. No, I wonder if the government is behind this. I should make that the default category.
Like, you should.
The default category is worms. You know, if you don't check a category, the only category it's in is worms. I should make the default category, I wonder if the government is behind this. I'll do that right now while we're talking.
Yes.
Or maybe later. I don't know.
Whenever you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the point, man.
Yep. So I have a plan. I have a plan to save podcasting.
Ooh. Are you going to divulge the plan or do
people
have to wait for it?
No,
people have to give us $3 a month to hear the plan.
Yes. So we can pay off the patent trolls. Yeah. I'm going to type Nima something secret that he can't say out loud.
Aw, man. Okay. Fair enough. I'll try my best. Even though I didn't sign an agreement to not say it out loud. I will keep my word. Oh, Michael. I know this is an encrypted messaging, but you should still be careful.
Okay, why don't you close Pigeon and restart it? Because you should do that at that point. Because if someone came in right now, it would still be on your screen.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Pigeon and closing it, the other day – we often have a Pigeon conversation open. And the other day I forgot to close out of it. And I came back to it a few hours later and it had a message on it that said it had your username. It said, you have just left the private conversation. And it said, we suggest you do the same. And I was like, huh, you're suggesting I do something.
No, Pigeon. It always does that. I don't do that. It does that.
I know it did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that it had that kind of language. Like, we suggest you do the same.
So I have a new article.
It's giving me good advice.
I have a new article. Let me take a side trip here. I have a new article in Talkers Magazine called Electrovoice Mics Rock the World. Or Rock Talk Radio. It's a good article. I realized I made a mistake in this article, and I really should have and I'm not going to ask them to change it, but I really should have put a paragraph, my second paragraph, as like the second to the last paragraph. Because the second paragraph is talking about how the RE20 is such a staple of radio that even though other mics are sometimes used in radio studios, the RE20 is always used in almost always used in Hollywood to indicate radio. Showing it on screen is automatic shorthand for we're in a radio station now. Anytime you see a scene in a movie or on TV where someone is talking on radio, the prop mics are overwhelmingly going to be RE20s. Showing an RE20 on the screen visually implies this person is a pro, go listen to them, even to people who don't know anything about radio and microphones. The very next thing is a picture of me with an RE20. I could see how somebody might think, oh, so here's a guy pretending to know what he talks about on radio by posing in front of an RE20.
No, it's illustrating the visual effects because people saw it and they go, oh, that guy's a pro.
I should have just put some buffer, one line, anything between that paragraph and the picture of me. I didn't realize it until I saw it.
You could have put pictures of other people.
I should have put me at the top and put the picture of the cat with the RE20 there.
Because
my cat doesn't know anything about radio or microphones other than I've chewed on the pop filters and they don't really amuse me, so I'm going to stop. But if you throw a pop filter on the floor, they'll play with it like a mouse because it bounces when they touch it.
Ah, I see. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Good for your cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. This is your plan. That's what we were getting to, right?
Well, I'm multitasking. I'm changing the default category on the blog to I think the government is behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a plan. Why don't you pregame my plan here? Why don't you introduce my plan? My activism.
Yes. So I'm sure many, if not most, of our listeners are familiar with the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Do a lot of great work towards promoting the liberty of your electronic communications, basically keeping government's greedy, ignorant hands off of new technologies that provide extra liberty, you know, liberty outside of the system, new things, which, you know, I really liked your question about is the government behind this patent troll thing, and Stefan's reply that, well, maybe not directly, but the system they set up is definitely the problem, because podcasting, talking, the free flow of information is probably the biggest threat to the state and their established interests.
I agree with that. I really do. I mean, maybe blogging too, but podcasting is right. is the like the thing is podcasting is a little harder to do than blogs. So the while there probably are 100 or 200,000 podcasts in the world, there were like 20 million blogs. So since there's less of them, and when they're done well, they seem more like old media than oh, a yeah. blog. Because a blog is right. it can look like a newspaper, but it's like it's on a computer screen. Whereas like a podcast is like radio, and you can do it in a way mm-hmm. that takes the best of what radio is. And
well, I think there's a reason that even people who have just podcasts still call it blah 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 radio.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
Even if it's just on podcasts.
Yep, there you go. That's a really good point. And it kind of irks me now that we're on radio. I'm like, that's not radio.
But, you're not really on radio.
But yeah. it kind of is. It kind of is what radio has become. And I really think – here's what I think. I think that in the next 5 to 10 years, the government is going to eliminate the ability to do what we're doing on the radio. I mean, I think – The FCC clamps down on things more and more, makes it harder. You know, the taxes and reporting make it harder. I talk to program directors all day, and you know, the people that have a bunch of 50,000 watt stations and staffs and attorneys and all that, they're doing okay. The little guy is not doing okay. There's not all. Right. I mean, it's harder for them than it used to be. You know, the couple yeah. that owns one 1,000 watt station in a tertiary market.
It's not the golden age anymore.
It's not the golden age anymore. And it's really hard to keep a radio station afloat economically. And I mean, I know people who are libertarians, straight up libertarians, like our show and want desperately to program us and can't because their boss is like, oh no, we're selling that slot for $100 an hour to Bill's, you know, yeah. fishing show that's locally produced and we don't even like it. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's economically, there's not much room for profit in a lot of the stations. And a lot of things that the FCC has added, like the ESS reporting system, the emergency alert system, which everyone had to go out and buy new equipment. They had to subscribe to services. They have to have someone extra to keep make sure it's working, basically so the government can take over your radio station with the push of right. a button.
It's a giant unfunded mandate. You're required yeah. to comply, but to comply you have to spend thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars that they don't help you out with.
And what the FCC has been doing is walking into radio stations and saying, I'm from the FCC, I need to inspect your EAF system. And if it's offline because, you know, somebody tripped over a cable or, you know, a fuse blew or you had a lightning strike and you got everything back up and running after a couple days and replaced equipment but forgot to check this box, they fine you $35,000. And for a lot of stations, wow. that will put you out of business. And I know a lady yeah. I've talked to who just got that fine and she's like, I don't know what to do, man. Because a lot of stations, you know, probably make $60,000 a year for really small stations that are FCC, you know, because
well, you know what it sort of reminds me of the food industry, you know, how the FDA inspectors require the slaughterhouses to build a personal bathroom just for the inspector, even though the inspector is only going to be there once or twice
really?
A year. Yeah. Yeah, at least that's what Michael Pollan reported in his book.
Is that so he can go in there and do some tranny hookers and crocodile?
It's because he's going to be eating the raw beef, I guess, and he's going to need a bathroom just for him. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the rationale or how they get away with it, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. I don't know if it still is because it came to public attention. But the result of that is – you know, and that's just an example. That's just one example of all the regulations and hoops you have to jump through. So the reason or what that leads to is the average farmer can't also slaughter and process his own meat because he can't get FDA approval if he's doing a certain volume. So it's a way to make sure that the people actually doing the work are the big corporate interests yeah, that are yeah. already playing ball with the government. The same thing is happening in radio. The podcast is like the farmer's market. Of media, you know?
Yeah, it is the people's media. It really is the one thing where you can make powerful media on almost no money. I mean, you can do a podcast and make it sound good, and I've done tons of blog posts on how to do this. You could, if you're really careful and you experiment and you know what you're doing and you read a lot, for about $100 set up and for about $100 a year, $150 a year, you can do a podcast. You can't even make video for that cheap. You know, you can make video for $500, but not for $100. And you really can reach the world, and podcasts are popular. People can listen to them while they're doing other stuff. You know, it's like I can't watch a video while I'm out doing yard work or using a chainsaw, but I can listen to a podcast while I'm doing a chainsaw. You can't listen. You can't watch a video while driving, but you can listen to a podcast.
Dude, my job would be so unbearable if it weren't for podcasts. I mean, I'm just driving all day, and half of my day is driving from one location to the next to do the job. And if I didn't have podcasts, man, I'd be, I don't know, I'd go insane.
Do you listen to The Fiends ever?
I listen to The Fiends sometimes.
Cool.
I listen to Fiends. Listen to Bad Quaker. Listen to Stefan, what's his name?
Scott Horton. Kinsella.
I don't think I listened to his podcast much.
Well, you did today. You did today because you read his stuff on a podcast. And if you listen to this, you'll be listening to Stefan Kinsella on a podcast, our podcast.
I guess so.
I mean, that thing you were talking about the farmers, I mean, it goes way beyond that. Like the EPA is now requiring that every farm makes a written record of any time they move manure. So literally, when you move a bunch of shit from one side of your farm to the other, you have to notate it for the government. And
that's government in a nutshell, isn't it? They're keeping track of your shit.
They're keeping
every
track
time
of
you
your,
move shit, they want to know.
They want to move shit. They want to be all up in your shit. Yep. So they're doing the same thing with radio, and we're gonna take a break here quick, and then I'll come back and tell you what my plan is to save podcasting. But they're doing things like with radio that are way beyond that, like the EOO requirements, you know, the equal opportunity employment. Like they're really heavy on that with radio stations. Like if you live in an area that has no minorities, you have to find a minority, you know, or if you live in an area where like the only guy that's a tech guy is of this race, you have to find and train a tech guy of the other race to be the second tech guy.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And not only do they have to be that race, but they actually have to sound that race. You can't hire a black guy that sounds white.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding.
Because actually on mainstream media, everybody tries to sound Midwestern, I think, no matter where they're from. I mean, isn't that
they try to be accentless.
Don't you think that's part of how you got hired in TV was you were the brown guy who was pretty white?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, you're good too. You're good too. But put it this way: if it got down to two tapes, it had been you and a white guy, and they didn't have a brown guy, they'd probably hire you because they had to, huh?
I know that they do hire based on what their needs are, and it's hard to tell how much of that is
visual
EOE stuff.
And how much is just visual?
And how much is visual?
They just want to look balanced.
We need another girl on the desk. We need a blonde girl on desk. We already have a blonde girl on desk. Now we need a dark haired guy on the desk.
They always have an Asian Asian girl.
It can get that shallow.
It's like on what is it? Family Guy or American Dad? They're like, and now we go to Asian correspondent,
Asian reporter. Yeah,
Trisha Takanawa. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Well, I always liked how South Park went with that. They always had some random – it was like they were picking random adjectives.
Midget.
Like, and now we go to a paraplegic midget riding a horse or something like that.
So the last thing I want to say before we go to the break and I come back and tell you the plan to save podcasting is I think – basically I think that the Fiends are fighting to get on radio so we can get back on internet in 5 years or 10 years because I really think that in 5 or 10 years doing – heavily media that's heavily critical of the government on the government controlled airwaves is going to be impossible. It may not be illegal. They may not just out and out, you know, strike down the First Amendment, but they're doing things towards it, like the Feinstein thing of you don't have protection if you have a whistleblower unless you're mainstream media and have a paycheck and have worked there for a long time, and you don't have things like they'll hassle. They might hassle stations more that play stuff that complains about the government. They might fine them more. They might fine them fine them when someone cusses, when they don't fine, you know, the liberals when they cuss. Fine them more, audit them more. So I think that in 5 or 10 years, it's going to be all on the chrome robot turret over the internet. That's going to be radio. not these towers that you have to be within 50 or 100 miles of, or 10 miles of, or 5 miles of. And I think that the people that are going to succeed commercially in it are the people that are succeeding commercially, for the most part, that are succeeding commercially in radio. And I don't necessarily mean the big unnamed players that control 80% of the media. There's three companies that do it. But I mean, whoever the startup is that starts the, you know, when the guy from eBay decides to start a podcasting company to replace radio in 5 years or whatever, he's going to pick the shows that already have some game and are heard of and are on a bunch of on a bunch of stations. So those people are going to pick us and put us on. And if no one ever picks us, we're still going to be doing media. We did it before, we're still doing it now, and we'll still do it later. But that's the thing, is I think we're fighting to get on radio so we can go back on the internet and be popular later.
And with that, we will take a tiny break.
And you said that. That was your thing. All right.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Rolling.
Freedom Fiends. Yes, welcome back. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean, the man who will save podcasting. How are you going to do that, Michael?
I'm not really going to save it. The EFF is going to save it, but we're going to help.
Okay. You're just going to give the EFF the idea, the master plan, man.
Yeah. I have a call into them, into one of their attorneys there, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. I'm going to, with them, I am going to offer to work with them to write and record a 30-second radio ad for saving podcasting. Basically, they're trying to raise money to do a preemptive legal strike against these pod weenies.
Bam.
These pod weenies.
Yeah.
And stop them in their tracks with the law, which, you know, it's kind of playing in the system, but it's like, I think it's worth doing. And I don't want to have to move to Croatia to do podcasting. Although today's picture, the image I'm going to use, and I may call this Radio Free Zagreb, or however you say it. Okay. I found this. I was talking to our friend in Croatia, who is the lady, Iva Milikovic, who is the lady on the Freedom Fiends buttons, wearing the Freedom Fiends t-shirt she made. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about Croatia. I started looking at pictures of Croatia on Flickr, and I found this awesome picture of this old shortwave radio from just after World War II, or maybe before, from Croatia used to be, which was what, part of Yugoslavia? I don't even know. Do you know?
I think it was part of Yugoslavia. Yeah. I think. I don't know.
But it was in Cyrillic writing, and it didn't have like numbers for the frequency on the dial. It had cities in Eastern Europe, which is kind of weird. That's how they used to do it. But I made it a Fiends meme, and I kind of
Well, it's
like
also
it.
Got BBC.
Yeah.
That's one of the things on here.
Yeah.
Scottish, München, which I guess is Munich.
Yeah,
Finnmark, is that like Finland and Denmark at the same time?
And some of it's in Cyrillic writing, like the knobs. Yeah. What do the knobs say? Or they just say like B, D, V, like things that...
I don't think it's Cyrillic. It looks Danish to me.
Is it?
Soker, with S with a zero and a line through it.
Yeah.
K-E-R. I don't know, man. I'm not well-versed in European... stuff.
This just reminds me of that, like the knob that has the buttons that say L, M, F, K, L. I don't even know what that is. It reminds me of when Homer Simpson goes to buy a car and he doesn't have much money. So he tries to buy like something from Zabgrev. And it's something like the guy, Homer's looking at the controls where it would normally say like park, reverse, drive, neutral, 1, 2, 3. And it's all in Cyrillic writing. And he's like, "What country is this car from?" And the salesman says, "The country doesn't exist anymore, but it's a good car. It gets 30 hectares to the bushel of petrol." Which is weird because a hectare is a measure of acreage or of area, not distance.
Right.
But
right,
yeah, right. It's pretty funny. So that's how I'm going to say podcasting. No, I haven't explained how I'm going to say podcasting. I'm going to make this radio ad with the EFF to raise money and awareness. Boy, that sounds pussy and liberal. To raise money and awareness about the pod trolls and fight them. And then I'm going to write an article. First of all,
does the EFF plan to like sue the company? What is it called? American Podcasting?
They have some kind of legal preemption plan, and they've raised, they wanted to raise $35,000 to do it. And I think they raised $70,000 on Kickstarter. But you can always use more in a legal battle, and
right.
I want to do that. And maybe they don't need money. Maybe they just need awareness. But I'm sure that they would like free radio time. So I'm going to offer to write with them and then record this with DJ voicing it. And it's not going to be, you know, this is the Fiends. We're not going to have our name in it at all. It's just going to be an ad.
Right.
And
well, it seems like something that everybody could get behind, not just the Liberty Mission folks or libertarians, but there's a podcast for everything, man.
Yeah.
There's a podcast for scooter enthusiasts.
Yeah.
It's really bad audio quality, but every niche in the world has its own podcast.
Well, it's actually what's called narrowcasting instead of broadcasting, because broadcasting, the idea is its lowest common denominator and goes out to the whole city. Whereas narrowcasting is casting only to a smaller, more defined demographic. And podcasting is perfect for that because there's not the startup and licensing that there is with a radio station. So you can make a podcast for left-handed Croatian lesbian World War II motorcycle enthusiasts, you know, and there's probably 200 of them in the world, but they'll all listen to your podcast and they can all get it without being in your city.
Yes, yes. And they will enjoy listening to that podcast about their very specific interests rather than watching one of the hundreds of TV stations that will never mention their interests.
Or waiting for once a year when, you know, they do a puppy parade and say, "Look at this crazy event we had in our town today. They had a convention for left-handed Lithuanian one-armed lesbian World War II motorcycle enthusiasts."
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, or something equally obscure like, you know, libertarianism. I think we have a pretty narrow demographic. I mean, I think it's getting wider, but it's like, you know, libertarians who don't want to work within the system, who just want to laugh at everything. Basically fiends, what we call fiends.
Fiends, yeah.
So I'm going to record this ad for the EFF with their help and guidance. Guidance. And then the Freedom Fiends are going to give them 1 month of free radio time, not just on the podcast, but also on the radio, on all the stations we're on. And I talked to Ian Freeman today, and he's willing to give a month of Free Talk Live 30-second ad for that. That is big. I mean, that's you know, 130 stations. And I'm going to also pitch this as a I'm going to pitch it to GCN to see if they can give some ad time. I don't doubt they can give a month, but if they can give a couple weeks at least of time on their whole network, on all their shows, I've got to call into them for that. And I'm going to write an article for Talkers Magazine where you can explain it and have a link to download the ad and encourage radio stations, radio networks, and radio shows to give it some free ad time too. And I think it'll get some more people to do it because it's all those people have podcasts. You know, it's this isn't right. Hey, you know, save the puppies and give us a free ad. This is like a save yourself from $100,000 fine or getting put out of business ad, you know.
Right. Yeah. Man, that's great. Yeah, I think it'll work. And as far as getting the word out there now, what happens with the law in the end, I guess nobody can really predict.
We're just going to all move to Croatia because that's Libpair. Well, they do make good guns, and people can own guns there. Citizens can.
Does that make me a dual? Am I eligible for dual citizenship because I carry an XD? It's
Croatia. That's your Croatian.
And it's my baby.
That's your Croatian.
They can sponsor me for citizenship.
It's an anchor baby gun.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could if like something broke on it, you could say that you have to take it back to the factory in Croatia for service.
Yeah.
And then you'd be anchor babied there. You could say, "This my baby was born here. I have papers on this baby." Do you have papers on it?
I don't even know what that means. What?
Register a gun. What?
There are guns gun papers?
People register guns? What are you talking about?
Do you have to? People always ask me if some I have places. A license for the gun when they see that I have. People have asked me that. Like, do you have a license for that? Like, you have to get a license for a gun? Is that a thing?
I think you should say, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. Well, that's the silly thing is people don't know what that is. Like, people ask me that in places where you obviously don't need a license. Mm-hmm. Like, Texas.
Well, you need a permit to conceal carry there, but
yeah, but in Texas, you can keep it concealed in your car,
right,
and conceal it to and from your car without a permit.
Isn't that just
a
big?
I've been stopped twice by cops in Round Rock in my work truck, and the Gats in the glove box, and they come to me and I tell them. They ask me for my insurance, which is there with the gun. I'm like, well, I have the insurance in that glove box there, but there's also a firearm in it. And one guy actually opened the glove box and pulled the insurance out. And the other day it was a lady cop and she said, well, I'll just check electronically because they can actually call it in now.
That's,
so she just checked.
And here's some news you can use. When you're legally carrying a gun in your glove box and you get pulled over by the police and they ask for the papers, it probably behooves you, your longevity, to gently tell them there's a firearm in there before you go grabbing in there.
Yes.
Because literally they could murder you and get away with it at that point.
Right. And according to Massad Ayoub, which I didn't I forgot the second time I said pistol, but according – and I guess that's not as bad as gun. But Massad Ayoub says you should say if you have a permit, you should say I'm a concealed carry holder and it's in the glove box. Use it's, you know, the neutral pronoun.
Yeah.
I use the word firearm.
You shouldn't say – Yo!
Gun!
Gun! You shouldn't say, yo, I'm an anarchist and I got no papers on my GAT, but it's in with my papers on my car because I'm not a full-on anarchist.
Well, see, they both asked me if I was concealed carry permit holder, and I said yes because I am, but my permit's from Washington. So they asked to see it, and I fished this ratty-looking, looks like a bit of the Constitution.
I will spit soda on there, man. You should just have a ratty piece of like parchment that has the Second Amendment on it.
That's what it looks like. Oh, it's Second Amendment. Yeah. But that's what it looks like. It's been in my wallet for like 3 years. It's in my wallet that's, you know, sweated on all day, every day.
It's still got the condom from high school pressed into it.
Well, it's not laminated. And I told the lady cop this. She was like, what happened to it? And I was like, well, in Washington, they charge you an extra $10 to laminate it. And I wasn't going to pay that.
That's funny.
And she looks at it and she goes, where's the rest of it? I don't see where the date is. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's probably these little crumbs in my wallet. And I showed her the crumbs inside of my wallet. And she was like, yeah, I would suggest you get a new one.
The crumbs.
She was cool, though. She let me go with the warning. I guess she was not in a murderous mood that day.
You got to keep your GAT papers intact, Nima.
I guess. Yeah, I do. I do.
You got to laminate your GAT.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after I showed it to her, I was like, but in Texas, it's fine to have it in the glove box, right, without a permit. And she was like, yeah. So.
You know, if I were you, I would recommend going to the state government website and finding where it says that and print the page out and have it with you. in case
that's not a bad idea.
In case a cop doesn't believe you or doesn't know. I mean, generally, if a cop is ignorant of the law and you show him the law on paper, it's not necessarily going to help, but it might make him call it in and ask his supervisor instead of just hauling you in and making you get a lawyer and wait the weekend in jail.
Yeah. Well, this was in Round Rock, which is in Williamson County, which is a bit more conservative leaning than Austin. I mean, if I were a mile or two south, I might not have been so lucky.
Yeah, but you have a beard and look Middle Eastern. How does that help you there?
I talk real white. Listen to me. Listen to me talk, Michael.
I think you should talk really white when you talk to police officers.
Okay. Yes. How are you doing today, officer?
Put on your Urkel voice.
I'll use my credit card.
What's that from?
South Park. The Chinese announcers doing their white impression. Yeah.
I'll use my credit card.
I'll use my credit card. I haven't seen American die like that since Abraham Lincoln.
So did you like the secret thing I pigeoned you that we cannot say on air? That was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that to my grave, man.
I think you should.
Yeah. You liked it, though, didn't you?
I suppose.
As humor, yeah.
As humor, yes. Definitely as humor.
The Freedom Fiends, where we tell inside jokes that are so inside, they're not even privy to our audience of left-handed Lithuanian World War II motorcycle enthusiasts from Croatia.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send some buttons to her in Croatia. We've sold like 4,000 buttons or given away and sold like 4,000 buttons with her face on them. She should at least have a couple.
She doesn't have any?
She should have some. Yeah.
Travesty.
So I'll go to the airport and say, this needs to get to the Prussian consulate on the auto gyro by 3.
Is that Mr. Burns?
Yeah, it's Mr. Burns. Great. He says some other thing that doesn't exist anymore, too. The Prussian consulate.
Before my iced cream melts and I have to succumb to the pretzel bread farts.
No, it's something else involving countries that no longer exist.
I see.
What are they?
Oh.
What was the Francis Ferdinand was the Archduke of what? I think he says that thing.
I thought it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
He said this needs to get to the Austro-Hungarian consulate in Prussia on the 2 o'clock auto gyro.
Nice. I think it was Austro-Hungarian. Yeah. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. Zagreb.
Yeah, man. That's in Croatia.
Zagreb
right?
looks awesome. I looked at pictures of it on, it's really old worldy looking and beautiful.
Yeah.
So are a lot of the women.
I've never really seen the old world, man. I want to. Old world's supposed to be cool.
The oldest world I've seen, I never made it that far east. I've been to Prague, which is pretty old worldy looking. I mean, that was communist until 1969, I think. And I've been to East Germany after the wall fell and before Germany was reunited, like a week before it legally became one Germany again.
Wow.
You know,
that's awesome.
I was wondering, and Berlin, East Berlin. And I've never.
Was there the feeling in the air? Like, did people sense that a giant change was happening? Or was it just poof out of nowhere?
It was already happening. Well, we've talked about how the wall fell. It was kind of interesting. Right. It was like, some politician, you know, it was kind of headed that way, and some politician made some statement in like future present tense that some people took as, oh, it's already happened and didn't know. And some reporter went down to the guards at the wall and asked one of them, you know, so when does the wall open up? And one of them said something like, oh, it's already open. And somebody else overheard that and actually physically opened the gate. And people started going through it on TV before the politicians had made it legal.
Nice.
And then it was just unstoppable. That's what happened. Like, basically, it doesn't take a government to change, you know, to stop tyranny. It takes a couple soldiers standing down.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's an important fucking story, you know?
Such an important point. Yeah. The state stopped working. The state in their heads told them, just open the gate.
Yes.
Man. Open the gate. That's it. That's all you got to do. And it worked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to save podcasting. What's the analogy there?
We're going to open the gate.
I mean, yeah. Ian Freeman's answer is kind of that. He's like, I'm going to throw that letter away if I get it. You know, I mean, come on. Ian's the guy who's like started a church to restructure his tax purposes for liberty.
I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I need to know more about what the EFF's proposal is for the legal preemptive strike.
Well, you know who the co-founder is John Perry Barlow, who lives in Wyoming, actually, and he was the co-lyricist for the Grateful Dead, and he's a libertarian.
Huh. I did not know that.
Tried to interview him once, but never heard back from him.
That's right. Okay, I remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if this deal works out, you should definitely see if you can revisit that interview request.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of interview requests, we never heard back from Glenn Greenwald, did we?
Nope.
Guess he's too big now to sully himself with those libertarians.
Well, isn't he too big to go on the Scott Horton show now? And didn't Scott Horton kind of break him in America a lot?
I don't know.
A lot of people
broke. To me, I don't know.
You know, the one station that Scott is on is a 110,000 watt station.
KPFK.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge, man. It's huge. It's like covers so much of California, and it's so liberal. What did he call it to us? Communism all the time.
I said that. Yeah, that was it.
You said that?
Yeah.
That's right. You were telling me about what it's like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. I guess just because he's the best on it. He's the best on foreign policy, man. And I don't know. There is so
here,
much
I just sent
common-
you. I just sent you something encrypted in secret that you shouldn't say on the air, but you can read and laugh about it.
Okay.
See it?
Fair enough. But
let people see you laugh.
Okay. Ha ha ha.
All is communism.
Is that genuine sounding?
All communism. All the time.
Oh,
KPFK. Yeah, I said that.
Okay. Fair enough. That's your story.
I'll take ownership of that because they will never, ever, ever put the Freedom Fiends on KPFK. It's public radio, man. It'd be like, you know, we'd be between Democracy Now and the Nancy Pelosi cooking show. They're not going to put us on. The Nancy Pelosi wine tasting hour. You know she owns a vineyard?
Did not know that. Did she acquire it legitimately? Did she have it taken with eminent domain? Put in her name.
Well, if she bought it while she was a politician, she didn't take it legitimately because her paycheck isn't legitimate. You know, I saw a show the other day, a really funny, campy movie that people should get called Rock of Ages. It's a, it's on Netflix as a DVD. It's an adaptation of an off-Broadway musical where all the music is like 80s hair metal. And the guy, Bryan Cranston, who plays Walt on Breaking Bad, plays a politician on this. And I was kind of like looking at it going, he's more ethical as a drug manufacturer, but he's really not because he murders people. But if he was just manufacturing and selling meth, I'd like him better there than as a politician.
Well, what level of politician is he in the show? Is he like a congressman?
He's running for Congress. I think he's like a city councilman. He's running for Congress.
So he hasn't yet had the chance to kill as many people as Walt does.
But he's trying to outlaw like rock and roll in L.A.
That's the stupidest thing I've
and
ever
Alec,
heard.
Alec Baldwin plays an old hippie rock club owner.
Why would anybody want that? Like, it would take somebody as good as Bryan Cranston to sell the real motivation of that character. I mean, what's his premise? Why would he want to outlaw rock music? I thought outlawing rock music was like a thing from the 50s. Like, rock's not even
edgy
anymore.
This movie's supposed to take place in the 80s, and people were trying to outlaw music, heavy metal music in the 80s. It was in that whole, when Dee Snider from Twisted Sister was addressing Congress, you know, that whole thing.
Okay.
Frank Zappa was speaking to Congress. They were trying to put labels on things, but they were trying to figure out a way to use the government guns to close down a popular rock club that they considered the symbol in this movie. I mean, this movie, you're asking me to analyze the depth of integrity of a plot, which is basically – Footloose redone.
Okay.
I mean, the plot, it's not even Footloose. It's like Wizard of Oz meets, I mean, the basic plot of this is that old thing of we got to raise money by midnight to save Grandma's farm. But instead of Grandma's farm, it's a rock club. I mean, it's the same plot of
Gilmore.
Yeah. Happy Gilmore.
I got to win enough money to save my grandma's house.
Yeah. Or the Blues Brothers. They got to win enough money to they got to earn enough money to save the orphanage. Which is that's a pretty funny the way they do it in there too, because they have the money and they're driving to bring it to the tax assessor, and to bring the tax assessor this $5,000 to save the orphanage, the police chase wrecks about 120 police cars and probably does millions of dollars in damage, and then they have to like run in and bring it to the tax assessor who's sitting there just having a sandwich, you know, and like doesn't want to open the doors yet. And I think that the tax assessor is played by Steven Spielberg wearing a beard. It's pretty funny.
That is funny. Did Steven Spielberg direct the Blues Brothers?
I don't think so. I think it's just a cameo.
Just
a
cameo?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yep.
That was also the plot of the remake of The Three Stooges, which I only watched partly because they played it at an airplane and I was a captive audience. And it was the worst thing I'd ever seen. There's a remake of The Three Stooges with a bunch of C and B list actors, and it's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And
I don't
that
know.
Was the plot.
Is it? It might be as bad. It might not be as bad as The Blues Brothers 2. You ever seen The Blues Brothers second movie?
Was it Blues Brothers 2 or was it like Blues Brothers 2000?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I never saw that. But that actually had Dan Aykroyd in it as well, didn't
it? Yeah, but it didn't have John Belushi because he was dead.
Boy, he's dead.
It had John Goodman, but it didn't have John. It should have had John Goodman playing Belushi's part, but it didn't. It had John Goodman doing something else. And not just because he's a tubby, fat, funny guy, but he's the same kind of, like, he would have been perfect to play that guy. But I think they had a black guy playing the other Blues Brother, like someone else from the orphanage. That was someone I didn't know who wasn't very funny.
Was it Chris Tucker?
No.
That would have been funny.
No. Blues Brothers film, directed by John Landis.
Blues Brothers 2000. All right.
Yeah.
You got 4.6 on IMDb.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the... no. Okay. I was trying to figure out who the other co-star was. Oh, John Landis?
John Landis is the director.
The director? Two more credits? It was a nobody, I guess, who played the other Blues Brother.
Yeah, he directed Animal House also. And Three Amigos and Beverly Hills Cop 3. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. I love how you say that. When there's like no valuation of fair or unfair.
Yes. It means I get it.
Steven Spielberg plays the Cook County Assessor's Office clerk. He's really hilarious in it because it kind of really plays – it's almost libertarian because it kind of plays on how like this pencil-necked – he's really skinny in it. He's young and has a beard, and he's just like this pencil-neck bureaucrat is like eating a sandwich and risking them losing the most important thing in this whole movie. You know, like we got to save the orphans. We got to get this money there. And it's like they have a deadline. The clock's ticking and it's like 1 minute to 12. And he's in there eating his lunch, like looking at him, like shaking his head, like, no, it's not 1 o'clock yet. You can't come in. And there's like 500 cops with shotguns and revolvers pointed running up this like 10 story staircase to get to stop them from paying this tax bill.
Yes. Yes. Eating sandwiches is the most useful thing government employees do, though.
Yeah. There's a song by Radiohead called Talk Show Host that's really weird. I don't think it's really about talk show hosts, but one line of it is like I think it's like a song to a spurned lover, but it's something like, I'll be waiting for you in the dark with a gun and a box of sandwiches and nothing else. It's funny.
Is that so he can keep fueled for the stakeout?
That's what I'm assuming.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, I think
sandwiches come in boxes in England. Is that an English thing?
I think it's a bag of a box of wine. I don't know. There's a sniper with a sandwich and some coffee in The People versus Larry Flint. They show the guy who I don't think they ever caught the guy who shot him. Maybe they did, but you know, he was shot by some guy who hated pornography and was a Bible thumper coming out of one of his court cases in the South before it went to the Supreme Court. And they show this guy like up in a third story bell tower in that town. And he's just kind of a skinny looking white Peckerwood, you know, 60-year-old guy sitting there with a deer rifle. And they show him going in and he's got a lunch pail. Like he's clocking in the clock tower to do some sniping. And wow. And they show another scene of him like waiting for the court to let out. And he's sitting there with a sandwich and a thermos of coffee, like drinking it, waiting.
Speaking of snipers, I didn't hear much about that. I guess I didn't look into it too much, but you, I guess did. There were police snipers at a pumpkin festival in Keene.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know, man. I think it's no one knows what agency they were from. But basically, there's this thing called Pumpkin Fest in Keene, New Hampshire every year. And it's like I'm not laughing at it. It sounds like a really charming thing, and I would go to it. It kind of sounds like, you know, Casper Frontier days.
That's one of my wife's
days.
Favorite things to do. Like, she is so obsessed with going to a pumpkin patch that we've even talked about maybe asking you to get somebody to fill in, and we're like, no, we'll just go after the show and it'll be fine. But pumpkin patch is a big deal to some people, including my wife.
Yeah. The Pumpkin Fest, I'm going to send you some pictures of the Pumpkin Fest. It looks like the sweetest, most peaceful thing in America. It's like small town Halloween festival with children painting their faces and pumpkin displays. And here, let me send you the link. I mean, and they make this like giant wall of pumpkins. And there's a picture on their site of the wall of pumpkins during the day with a rainbow behind it. Like someone caught this picture a few years ago.
That's a great picture.
Yeah. And Keene,
it looks like a lot of fun.
Keene has a population of 20 something thousand, and they get like 100,000 people every year for the Pumpkin Fest. Like literally come from miles around for the Pumpkin Fest.
We're driving down to Keene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Driving up to Keene.
Click on some of these links on here that say like superb photos and Jeffrey Newcomer photos and L. Barden photography. It really looks like, you know, there's this book by Bill Bryson, this travel writer I like, who wrote this book about the search for the America of the mind, basically. He didn't use that term, but he said, like, looking for the small town America that doesn't exist anymore. And there's a lot of towns out here in the West that downtown kind of look like that, like Casper, Wyoming, and some places in Utah, like the downtown is not falling apart, but it kind of looks like it's frozen in 1950. You know, just the buildings, the structure, the architecture.
Well, even some bigger towns have preserved their old main street.
Their theater district, usually.
And try to keep it looking like that.
In some towns, like San Francisco, the old, like, what used to be the bustling part of the town, like the theater district, is now, like, the hood. You know, but they still have, like, the theaters from it, like San Francisco does. But
eventually it will be gentrified and people will buy the condos buy the properties because they're so cheap and turn them into condos and it'll start the cycle over again.
Yep. Let's go to the market here. I got to let Charlie in.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelps from Death Clocks.
And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So you're looking at these other pumpkin pictures?
Yeah, man, it's beautiful. So I thought it was just a bunch of random pumpkins that they put on this giant, like, pyramid of pumpkins. But they're actual jack-o'-lanterns. They're not just pumpkins. They've been carved up. And does it say something? Is that a message?
I don't know. But they have pictures of them putting it together during the day before the night comes, and they light them all up. Okay. And they're using, like, a scissor truck mount, you know, like – like
it's huge,
industrial pumpkin carving, pumpkin building. And so Bill Bryson wrote this book about looking for an America of the mind, and he traveled all over America and, like, kind of found some candidates but didn't really find it. I think Keene at Pumpkin Fest is it, because first of all, like, New England looks like an America of the mind. It's all, like, Protestant churches, little white steeples everywhere. Leaves changing color, lots of trees. You know, like, Wyoming doesn't have a lot of trees in the city or anywhere, really. So, but this looks like what I picture small town America, but having a festival of pumpkins and little kids doing face painting and wearing costumes. And, you know, it's a big source of municipal pride kind of thing. There's a sign that says pumpkin drop off, and it's like one of those light up signs like they use for the amber alerts on the highway. It's to the mobile signs, pumpkin drop off, bring your pumpkin. So everyone carves their pumpkin and then they put them on a giant pyramid for everyone to see and light them up. And it's really cute. So this year there were snipers, government snipers on the rooftops watching the pumpkin fest. And everyone is like, what the fuck? I mean, it's mind-blowing. Like, you know, you know the first feisty libertarian blog post I ever did was like 7 years ago, and it was complaining about that they'd announced that they were going to have snipers on the rooftops for New Year's Eve in New York City.
Times Square, right?
Times Square, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a post talking about how ridiculous that was and, like, boy, that makes me want to dance being in the sights of a government sniper with a battle rifle, 308 battle rifle. And, yeah, but that was New York City, man. This is, like, smallest of small town America at their friendly family festival.
Yeah, mind blowing. Okay, so I'm looking at it. It's on Storify from a few days ago. Are there any updates? Because according to this, nobody – they went and talked to the police. It was reported by James Cleveland Garrett.
Well, there's video of it. There's video. There's video of them going to the police. I watched the video, and the guy goes in – it's a couple, you know, Free State, New Hampshire activist guys. They go into the police station with their video camera, ring the buzzer. The cop comes over and talks to him through the glass, and I like the way they worded it. They said – I'm concerned that I saw men with guns on the rooftops at the pumpkin festival. Can you tell me if those were police officers or not?
That's really well worded.
Yeah. Like sound like concerned citizen rather than activist. And my God, men with guns. But also the cop knew who the guy was. The cop, like, when he looked up, he kind of rolled his eyes like, oh, these guys again.
Yeah.
And in fact, he said, yeah, the pictures you put on your website are of law enforcement agents.
So what, he's trolling him?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. But there were four teams, according to this post here on Storify. It wasn't just one group. Because, like, how did they climbed up the ladder and, like, got a behind shot of these guys?
That's the thing, was they weren't pointing their guns out like snipers. They had their rifles sitting at their feet. And they were looking around with spy glasses, you know, with binoculars. Right. So to confirm that they actually were riflemen, because they looked like it and they were dressed like it.
And they were in teams, which snipers of two.
Yeah.
Are in teams. Yeah.
Yeah. One of these activists climbed up a fire escape on the other side of one of the buildings and got behind him. Now, these guys the snipers are bad snipers because a sniper doesn't let a stranger get behind them and not know about it. So I would like to say, and I was looking for like to see if they had that magical box of nothing with them. I did not see it in the picture.
There's a few cases there. One of them could have nothing in it.
It's the must protect the nothing. Yeah. It's. I think the nothing is a portal to like escape if you're surrounded.
It's a black hole. I think it's just part of the new norm and part of the jobs program, because that's all this is anyway, or at least that's part of what it is. Is these guys, Christmas season's coming up. They probably wanted some overtime.
Yeah.
Department of Homeland Security was like, well, we've got some domestic terrorists there in Keene, New Hampshire.
I think
and you'll get some overtime.
I think this is about making the Keene people, the Free State New Hampshire people, look like bad people. Or it's a matter of like, you know, somebody on the pumpkin convention or city council or one of those, or just, you know, some PTA kind of group with nosy neighbors. I think maybe a couple old ladies, blue hairs, probably complained to somebody and said, there was a citizen with a gun openly carried at last year's pumpkin festival. We need to be protected. You know, and that's the kind of thing now where if you call the Department of Homeland Security or call the sheriff and he calls the Fusion Center and they call DHS, they might just say, oh, we'll take care of it. We'll send four teams of two snipers.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, from the photos here, it doesn't look like these guys are really taking it as any kind of serious threat. I think they know what's up, that this is just a friendly, all-American event, and there's not actually going to be anything. But they're not going to pass up the paycheck. They're going to drive their butts over there and wear their casual clothes and stand and drink coffee and look at it with their gun on the floor.
Yeah, wear their North Face redneck collection clothes. They're wearing kind of like redneck dockers. They're well dressed, but they're casually dressed. I liked one of the comments. Somebody posted these videos on YouTube, and there were like, you know, the usual, oh my God, this is horrible. This is the new normal. This is tyranny. And then a bunch of like statists defending it and saying like, what are you all worried about? And then somebody saying, of course the statists and the sheep aren't going to say they're worried about this because they're not the targets and they won't be until it's too late for them to leave. But then the best comment was some libertarian being sarcastic saying, I see nothing to worry about, comrade. These are not snipers. These you can tell because they are dressed like the local rural peasants.
Oh, yeah. So that's about right.
Here's how bad those snipers were. They not only let the guy get up behind him, they let him get behind him twice. Because that guy got up there, and he was like 60 feet away from him and didn't want to approach him. And he had his camera with him, but he'd forgotten his telephoto lens. Once he got up there, he realized that. He climbed he went back down, got his telephoto lens, went back up, and filmed them again without them knowing. These guys, you know, the great saving grace of all governments is their ineptness. And that's who they've got on the pumpkin case, on the great pumpkin Charlie Brown sniper case. They've got guys who are such bad snipers, they don't realize that someone got, you know, violated their six twice. They say, watch your six. It means watch the 6 o'clock position behind you. And that's so important in military terminology that that's entered the general vernacular. Like, keep your powder dry. Keep prepared. Keep watch your six means, you know, be aware. Mm-hmm. They didn't watch their six, man.
Nope. Because they didn't care. Because they don't care. Because they're complacent, and you're right. That's the key, right? Maybe instead of sending your congressman or whoever a letter, send them sandwiches. Let's have them all get carbo-loaded, and all take a nap and leave us alone.
If this was snipers in the Warsaw ghetto, somebody would have capped them with a Liberator pistol.
Yeah.
Not saying anything violent or anything about the people that came up behind him, but it is sniper 101. You don't let someone get behind you. And if it's such a jobs program, I don't know if I want to give them suggestions on how to be better goons, but, you know, why not have the sniper, the spotter, and then a guard behind, you know, watching all 360?
I think there was one three-man team, according to this thing. So the sniper, the spotter, and the guard. But
it was probably an embedded journalist. So if somebody got shot, they could film it.
Maybe.
For the state television.
kudos to the real journalist here who wrote this, and the real photojournalist here, Graham Coulson, who's the guy that climbed back up the fire escape with the telephoto lens the second time.
Ben Stone, retired podcaster who's done two podcasts in the last 2 days.
Well, you're not saying he's retired from podcasting, right?
No, he said he was taking 2 months off, and I think he's done like two podcasts in the last 2 days, and one of them's an interview with these guys who took the pictures.
Oh, good.
I've not listened to it yet, but you should go check it out.
I didn't see that it was out yet.
Oh, it might not be. There you go. See, I talk to Ben every day, so I don't even listen to his podcast. He tells me what he's in him. I like this Keene Sentinel newspaper cover for the Pumpkin Festival. It says, "Pumped Up," and it's in text that's made of jack-o'-lanterns. You see that one?
No, I didn't.
It's pretty funny. That's cute. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right. Good times.
So speaking of, you got any more on the Pumpkin Fest? I got one more thing to talk about if you don't.
That's all I got. I mean, I was going to look for a follow-up because people are trying to identify who they are, why they're there. I don't know if that's actually happened yet, but I didn't do
I don't even know if that's important, but it is something to ask from a journalist's point of view. But to me, the bigger story is just that they were there, not are they state police, are they DHS, are they FBI, who cares, you know?
I kind of want to know who made the call, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if it's the Keene City Council who made the call, I think that's pretty relevant to the activists there to know who to go bug. Because, I mean, that's kind of the point of the Free State Project and the Keene guys is there's enough activists there to where they can actually hold people accountable on a daily basis and directly and immediately after the actions take place.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, 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 yep. So I want to talk about the AK-47 and how it was the liberator pistol of the Soviet Union.
All right. Now, talk about it.
Okay, the liberator pistol was something that the United States came up with as a plan, kind of a psyops plan, but also a tactical plan to make a bunch of little $2 one-shot 45 caliber pistols that come in a box with 10 rounds. And a dowel to remove the expended round. Like, it's not semi-auto at all, man. You have to, like, pry the bullet out, the spent shell out, and put another one in. But they came with instructions telling – pictographic instructions plus, like, all the languages of Europe instructions, basically saying, take this gun, walk up behind a Nazi soldier, ask him for a cigarette, have your friend come up behind him with the gun and cap him under his helmet at the base of his brain pointing up, and then take his gun – his uniform, his sidearm, his rifle, his ammo, his chocolate and cigarettes in his pocket. And well,
for your own peace of mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mental health.
It was
right?
Basically a plan to arm an insurrection. Now, I really believe that Hitler could have been defeated. You know, I'm not going to argue whether or not America, whether government should exist. I'm going to put on my minarchist hat for a minute here. I'm not going to argue whether or not it was ethical for the U.S. to get into World War II. That's a whole different discussion. Or World War I. Those are other people's discussions. But I'm saying that tactically, I think the U.S. could have ended World War II. Basically, they made these things. They made a few thousand of them, and they dropped them like the last 3 months of the war, like in a limited area. It didn't really make a difference. Now, what they should have done was spent a fraction of the money they spent arming the U.S. military and sending people over there in boats and troops and, you know, the merchant marine, bringing them tuberculosis-infected cattle and things like that. So to feed them. I mean, the amount of money it cost to launch a war in Europe. Right. They should have just made 50 million of these things and carpet bombed Europe with them. By carpet bomb, I don't mean kill people. I mean just like 24/7 hour, like instead of bombing people and sending troops over there, just push these things out of airplanes in every city, every farm, every town, every hamlet in Europe all day, every day.
They should have been as common as those flyers in Las Vegas with the prostitutes and their phone numbers on.
There you go. They should have let the free market take over it. You know, if companies had built these and just dropped them instead of armies going there, maybe the companies could have had first tack at setting up the prostitution over there when it's over.
There you go. When the people were actually liberated by the liberators.
Yep. So I really think that would have worked. And Cody Wilson named his first working printable gun after the Liberator. It's called the Liberator. So yes. I was thinking.
And so when you search the Liberator on Wikipedia, you actually have to go to one of those before sheets that gives you the options. And yes, those two are together. You can choose this Liberator we're talking about, the FP-45, or you can choose Cody Wilson's.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good for you, Cody.
Yep. And of course, the United States government is trying to stop Cody from doing this. They don't want to arm the people. So
no.
Basically, I think that in a way, this sounds like treason to most people, but I think historically the Soviets were a lot smarter with their Cold War battles than the U.S. was, because the U.S. went and fought them. The U.S., you know, proxied against the Soviets through the Indochinese with themselves in Vietnam. Like, you know, Russia sent the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, they sent them AK-47s, surplus SKSs, and ammo. And America sent Americans.
Yeah.
And I really think that the smarter way to fight any kind of battle is to arm the locals. And I'm speaking of this in a bigger way, in a figurative way, too. Like, we want to arm people with liberty, with the idea of liberty. Now, yes. what the Soviet Union did, they did fight in some conflicts in the Cold War. They were in Afghanistan. They did a few other things. But mostly
– Afghanistan was their downfall, though.
Yeah,
and that was planned by the people in Afghanistan to pull them in so that they would have a downfall.
Which, you know, some of those same people in Afghanistan tried to do with America and succeeded by bombing the World Trade Center.
Right.
You know, they tried that was the plan.
Was it Kissinger or Brzezinski who was sort of an architect of helping to fund the Mooj? And ideally, the goal was to give the Soviet Union their own Vietnam, so that Soviet Union.
Oh, Charlie Wilson.
Was it Charlie Wilson?
Well, Charlie Wilson was the errand boy.
Who had that quote though? I want to give them their own Vietnam.
I don't know, but so what the Soviets did with the AK-47. You know, it was built to replace the Mosin, and the AK-47 wasn't quite ready by the war. You know, the war was over, so they had the SKS, which is kind of between a Mosin and an AK, but they came out with the AK, and the AK-47 and the later AK-74, which is lesser known, but there's a lot of them out there, because it was kind of an improved version of it. It was more of a intermediary cartridge, more like a .223, a little smaller. You could carry more ammo, and they didn't jam as much. They were better functional. The Soviets basically ran giant factories 24/7 churning these things out through the whole Cold War. You know, the beginning of that movie, Lord of War, that has the animation of the bullet following its path through the factory into some child soldier's skull in Africa. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showed it to me.
Yeah. It's, you know, the Soviets like basically stole a bunch of money from all the peasants, and instead of doing a lot of things for the people, they put most of it in the military. And what they did was they didn't just pump up their own military. They sent boatloads, and I mean like, you know, freighters full of pallets, full of hundreds of pallets, full of AK-47s and ammo, boxes of ammo. And they gave them free to every country in the world that wasn't outwardly capitalist, and like every group of freedom fighters in a country that wanted to be. You know, they basically, their export was arming the people. And the idea was, you know, the Marxist-Leninist idea was the people will read Marx and rise up, you know. And they literally, mm-hmm. like, they sent copies of Das Kapital, and they sent either AK-47s or just the blueprints sometimes, like countries right. that already had a manufacturing base and the money to make them, and, you know, the ability and their technical ability.
So they could
ability.
Make them in their giant 3D printers called factories.
Yeah, they would send, you know, instead of sending a boatload of them, they would send a few crates of them to study, and the blueprints and a couple technical, you know, engineers to go over and a translator to go over and tell them right. how to set up their own AK factory. They basically open sourced the people's rifle. And I don't agree with the Russians. I don't agree with their idea. I don't agree that communism should spread. But they really did a good job that's emulatable in the ideas of liberty. And I'm not saying send guns to everyone. I'm saying, like, you can't stop an idea. And pretty much in some cases, they were just sending the idea. They were sending the book Das Kapital, and they were sending the blueprints for the AK-47.
Right. right? Yeah, the idea didn't fail because of the strategy of that. It failed because it was a bad idea, and it wasn't self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
If liberty mm-hmm. is the truth and liberty is the mission, and we really believe that it wins in the end because it's based on true things, then yeah, those same tactics could lead to success rather than an eventual collapse.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Is this the third part or the second
this
part?
Liberator pistol looks like a hot glue gun.
I know it does. It looks like a squirt gun.
And it's called the FP45 because they designated the flare projector caliber 45 as a way to disguise what it was really going to be used for.
Are you looking at the hot glue gun? I mean, are you looking at the Liberator or the deer gun? The deer Liberator. Gun. Do you know about the deer gun?
FP45.
The deer gun was the Vietnam version of the Liberator.
Hmm. No, I don't know what that is.
It's probably on the same page. Let me send it to you. I think it looks even more. It was a Liberator pistol, successor to the Liberator, developed by the CIA. Single shot deer gun was intended for distribution to South Vietnamese guerrillas as a weapon against North Vietnamese soldiers. Let's see if I can find a picture of it to share with the audience here. Yeah, the thing was, they never made enough of these. They made 1,000 of these in 1964, you know,
yeah. And
they
made the Liberator. And the Liberator only had a million, according to Wiki.
But it didn't have a million dropped. It had a million made. And it was really late in the war, wasn't it? Or really late after we got involved. The U.S.
says,
got involved.
The service history says 1942 to 1945. But I guess that is when it was first developed. I don't know when it was dropped. The one of the hilarious things, though, is I guess in military weapons on Wikipedia, you know, there's different categories and it'll have data for them. One of the categories is used by, and says who it was used by, like which army. For the Liberator, it says used by, dropped into occupied territories for use by insurgents. So America was actively arming the insurgents.
Look at the picture of the deer gun I just sent you. It even looks more or less like a gun. I mean, it looks like a hot glue gun for sure.
Fire geezer. Oh, it does look like a hot glue gun. Oh, that's great. Yeah, man, gun doesn't have to look like a gun.
Yeah,
or it doesn't have to look like a bullet gun.
Yeah,
like
the Liberator pistol looks like a gun. It looks like a homemade gun, but the deer gun looks like a hot glue gun, man. It looks like a hot a nozzle at a car wash in 1950, doesn't it? Or something for like spray painting walls, spray painting over graffiti.
Paint gun. There you go. I was only 9 millimeter.
Yeah.
I guess that was more common.
Yeah. You know, it probably was a better design too. And I think 9 millimeter would be better for this than 45. I mean, if the plan is to shoot someone under their helmet at 1 inch, I think a 9 would do it as well as a 45. Yeah. And I think a 45 would just break your hand in a gun that small.
Than a tiny little gun. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think about the difference in kick between my 30, you know, my revolver, my snubby revolver, when it's firing 38.
That does both 38 and 357.
Yeah, when it does 38, it's like squirting butter out of a squirt gun, hot butter. When you fire a 357 with it, your hand hurts. And it's a heavy gun. It's like a 25-ounce snubby. They actually make like 15-ounce aluminum alloy snubbies for 357. I can't imagine.
Oh, man.
Because the lighter a gun, the less it absorbs the kick. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Guns.
Yeah. Guns.
So we talked about guns. We talked about the internet. We talked about snipers. What else do we normally talk about on The Fiends?
I want to talk about the president. Look what Obama is doing to you. I haven't done the jingle yet today. We got to write that and record it.
Okay.
But Karl Marx's book, Das Kapital, was published by a Soviet government printing company in Moscow called Progress Publishers. I mean, I'm just amazed that the progressives have taken the word progress and made it their own. I guess it's because liberal became a dirty word and they needed another word. But I think progress in the political sense, meaning the march towards communism.
It's old, though. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was like the first really big progressive president. I mean, that was what he espoused. And the ideas were slowly becoming popular before that. But it was the idea that in order to have progress, we must force it on people. They thought that we need to use the government guns to make progress happen. They thought that was the only way.
Look at the picture I just sent you of the logo of Progress Publishers from an old book. It's awesome. It looks brutalist.
Oh, man.
Brutalist typography.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Progress Take your publishers. Book, comrade. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what the little bit of what's that Ayn Rand book? Atlas Shrugged. A little bit of it that I read, I mean – when I read about the characters that were retarded, you know, the ones calling for more regulations that would eventually shut down the whole economy, I think she was describing the progressives of, you know, the early 1900s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me at all. I guess it's silly that we let them get away with using that word.
I read an article in Salon magazine that was praising Edward Snowden, and it was basically saying, like, you know, me, the author, is an abject liberal, but I don't like everything that's happening. And once in a while, we need an Edward Snowden. And they talked about how he liked Ayn Rand, or how he liked Ron Paul and the EFF. He had an EFF sticker on his laptop, and this is the people I'm trying to do the ad with. And they said something about, like, you know, it may seem weird that there's all these libertarians who have this, like, unworkable pie in the sky view of the world. And a lot of them are admins who run the internet, and a lot of, you know, a lot of people who built the internet had a copy of Atlas Shrugged in their backpack. But basically she was saying, like, yes, it's an unworkable model for the real world, but it has its place in running the internet. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck?
If
the internet can work great, why do you need something else? And I really like this meme that Lou came up with that's brilliant and should spread everywhere. It says, if the government built the internet, how come they can't build a functioning website about Obamacare?
Right. I did love that. It's got the scumbag Steve hat on the white girl on Congress, on the Capitol building.
Yeah. He's been coming up with some good ones. I heard the funniest description of the code that they've had. People who do coding for a living have, like, examined what you can see of the web code on the Obamacare site, the healthcare.gov, which is ridiculous because they're saying – by calling it that, it should be health insurance, forcedhealthinsurance.gov. It's not, they're trying to make you think healthcare and health insurance are the same thing. They're not.
Wait. What, you're saying that the title is not actually saying what it does?
Yeah, the government's thing. Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. But I don't believe you. Alex Jones, you know, a bunch of people, there are some articles that come out, even on the New York Times, that usually likes Obama, that have criticized it. And the Daily Show skewered the website.
Nice.
When you lose that guy, you've lost, man. You've lost the war on thought.
Well, although I thought John Stewart was starting to float the idea of single payer as the alternative. So it kind of makes sense if you go at it from the angle of, well, Obamacare was meant to fail. So they could say, well, we tried to have the market system or the mixed economy system. It didn't work. The only way to do it now is have a single payer. Let's just go all in.
Well, that's that's the theory that a lot of Republicans and libertarians and anarchists who studied it are presenting now, is that it was probably designed to fail and frustrate the nation so they can come out with their real goal, which is what?
Single payer healthcare. Socialist healthcare.
Yeah, which is, like, you don't actually apply for health insurance. Your taxes just double, and then you have a little bit of health insurance, like England or Canada.
Right. So, yeah, and the English system is starting to fall apart at the moment. And I don't know. It just seems I guess in the interim, for some people who can't afford anything and need it, it might benefit a select few. But I feel like I know there's no such thing as a free lunch. And we would all end up paying more.
Oh, it's going to screw everybody. I mean, employers are going to fire people, bring them down to part time. They're going to lose their benefits. You know,
all the doctors and surgeons and people who have $200,000 in school debt? You know, and student loans, because they expected to make a big salary. Doctors in England and Canada and places like that don't make the big six-figure salaries that American doctors can make.
And American doctors,
so what happens when American doctors are going to make $40,000 a year like public school teachers?
Yeah, we're dwelling too much on the facts here. I mean, that's Fox News. You can watch Fox News if you want it, what's wrong with Obamacare. I just wanted to make fun of it.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to get to was – I was just trying to quote Alex Jones making fun of it. He said one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time, which was – He said, yeah, and you look at the code in this website, and I mean, I get the impression that it's basically designed by 100 monkeys in a room typing by while being force-fed PCP, Mountain Dew, and Hot Pockets.
That sounds like a fun night.
It kind of does. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Being force-fed tranny hookers and crocodile. Yeah. So you got anything else?
We're kind of
at the end of our time here. Yeah, it's the poor man's vasectomy.
Well, I was looking for a Reason article, again, on the same thought that you had brought up earlier about how liberals are reacting to aligning with libertarians on the whole NSA thing. And I can't remember. I know it was on the Reason Hit and Run blog, but I can't find it because they're just too damn prolific. There's like 25 posts per day. I can't sift through them all, and I can't remember which day I looked at it on my damn Twitter feed.
Yeah, they have an office.
But anyway, it was some liberal saying.
They got Koch brothers money, man. They can do that.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But it was basically about some liberal, and I can't remember his name now, but he was going off on how we should not align with libertarians because they are insane.
Hang on. Free Talk Live did 3 hours of this yesterday.
They did.
Okay. Simpsons already did it.
Guy's name.
Simpsons did it. That's going to be my new thing. Free Talk Live is on 7 days a week. It's hard for the fiends to break news, man. I would recommend people go listen.
I wasn't trying to break anything. I was trying to comment on it, but I can't find it to know what to comment
on. Yeah, basically it was some liberal doing something to try to demand that the NSA reveal what they're really doing to us, which to me is like, yeah, I'm not against that, trying to do that, but that's like, please, master, show me your whip collection. You know, what's it going to change?
Right. Well, he was saying he thinks there's enough action in the Democrats' big tent to where they don't need partners like the Libertarians.
Yeah, I read
they can do it all within the Democratic Party.
I actually read the thing you're talking about. It came in my Twitter feed last night for some reason. And the basic of it, the irony of it that's laughable here is it's basically a hardcore liberal trying to motivate and reach across the line. He's actually working with Republicans on this too, but he doesn't want the Libertarian Party because they're too nutty for him. He's like, I don't want the Libertarian Party coming in and trying to help us with freedom. I don't want those libertarians to try to help the Democrats be free, make you free, comrade.
Yeah, yeah.
Progress,
well,
progress.
The irony, I thought, is he says the Democrats can do anything about it, as if the Democrats aren't the one who did it in the first place.
Yeah, they who amped it up.
That was the irony to me, is this is Barack Obama's NSA.
Yeah, there's only about two Democrat congressmen or senators who are against all of this, and one of them is a big gun grabber. So it's like, why do I want to help that guy? I'd rather sue people. That's what I'm going to try to do with the EFF.
There you go. Sue the government, not sue people. It's a very important distinction.
Well, I guess they're not. We're trying to sue people. We're trying to sue trolls. Trolls aren't people, really. And they're more like the government
they're monsters.
Than people. Yeah.
They are.
They're monsters that live under the bridge and tax you for crossing the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Well, have fun. I hope it works out. Ask me anything that you need to work it. If you need some vocals or some music, I'm definitely willing to
I need some music. Okay. Make me 30 please try to make 30 seconds of kind of groovy low key. I really like the music that we used on my voicing of the Gold ad. If you could make something, though, it kind of sounded like the Police. It was really cool. If you make something like that, or something that was like the Vaporsmiths ad back in the day that I think we're using for the Bitcoin ad now. Something that's like groovy and spooky and cool, but driving in mid-tempo.
All right. Yeah, I can do that. 90 BPM?
I guess.
Yeah.
If that's what your kids are mid-tempo. Calling it. That's about how fast people make love. Yeah.
Is it?
I think what it is it's like why it feels good at 90 is like it's a little above the beat of a natural heart, but not so much you feel like you're having a heart attack. So it like it lifts you up and makes you feel energized, but doesn't panic you. That's why 90's perfect. All right, man. Yeah. Mine's at about 100 now from vaping and talking and gesticulating wildly. So I'm going to go calm down and edit this. It's been a good show.
Calm down.
Man.
Yes. All right.
Say
Go
worms.
Home, Michael. You've had too much nicotine.
Say worms.
Worms.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.